Hello everybody, it's me Mr. Tall23 back in their video. This is another video on misunderstood, misused, twisted, and misinterpreted verses in the Bible. Today I'm going to be talking about 1 John chapter 3 verse 6, which says, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." And then a few verses later it says in 1 John 3 9, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." Now this passage, of course, which you can probably tell just by reading it at first glance without any other knowledge of scripture, it's used by a lot of false teachers to teach a variety of false doctrine. And one of these false doctrines is the concept that if you're truly born again, you'll eventually repent of all your sins, or perseverance of the saints, or the idea that Christians who do sin or Christians who fall back into their error are themselves not saved, and they were never saved. Or another teaching is just flat-out work salvation. Some people might use this verse to teach that if you don't repent of your sins and follow the word of God perfectly, you will go to hell. You won't be saved. I've heard this before, but it's not true. This is a false teaching. This is not what this verse is saying or this chapter. We must go back to Romans 7 and read this in the context of the entire Bible in order to understand this doctrine. As Paul says in Romans 7, verse 13 to 25, "Wasn't that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that is good." Now, these last two verses are a tongue twister, but to explain it simply, let's break down what Paul says. So in verse 15, "For that which I allow not," so meaning something he doesn't wish to allow, he doesn't allow it, "for what I would," okay, that's what he wills to do, what he wants to do, "that I do not." So he doesn't do what he wills. He doesn't do what he wants to do. "But what I hate," and that would be sin, the bad things that he hates in his inward man, "that do I," so he does the sin. "If then I do that which I would not," so he would not do the sin, he doesn't want to do the sin, but he does anyway, "I consent unto the law that is good." Now moving on, verse 17 says, "Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." So Paul says that it's not I that do the sin, but it's the sin that dwells in him. Okay, it's not him doing the sin according to the inner man. This will get clearer as I go on, but in verse 18 it says, "For I know that in me," that is, in my flesh, "dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." So there we have again, Paul says, it's no more that I do it, but sin is that dwelleth in me. Okay, so it says in verse 21, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members," okay, meaning the body, okay, that's what members means, "warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." So Paul is agreeing with John in this passage. He, according to the inward man, delights in the law of God. Okay, that's the person that wishes and wills to obey God, that actually does not commit sin. The part of us which is good, the part of us which is true and righteous. Okay, and now verse 24 it says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." So there's a war, as it says in verse 23, between the mind and the flesh, between the inward man and the corrupt flesh, the outward man. So it's clear that if we're saved, when we're born again, it is our spirit that's born again. Because Jesus said in John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So when we're born of God, when we're born again, it's of the spirit, it's not of the flesh, okay? When we get saved, nothing changes in our body. We still have the same old body, the same flesh, okay? It still remains here until our death. So our incorruptible spirit, which cannot commit sin, inhabits the corruptible body, the corruptible flesh, which still has sin dwelling in it, okay? And Paul says concerning the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 to 53, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So there's a conflict within us that can only end at the resurrection, when we're given an incorruptible body. Paul also writes about the spirit and the flesh in Galatians 5:16-18, where he says, "This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would," okay, the things that you will to do, as Paul, just as Paul said in Romans 7. And then Ephesians, concerning the old man and the new man, says in chapter 4, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we see that in order to walk in the spirit, in order to resist sin, we need to put off the flesh, put off the old man, and focus on the spirit, okay, focus on the thing which has been reborn inside of us, which was created in holiness. So yes, the spirit is holy, but this is the inward man. Okay, the outward man still exists as long as we're here on the earth. There's no change to our outward man. There's no change to our flesh. So did John teach that a Christian will always just not sin, will never sin for the rest of their life as soon as they're born again, no matter what? Did he teach that in order to be saved, you need to repent of all your sins? No, he didn't. Because in fact, John said in the same epistle that he wrote, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." So we're all sinners, and we all have the capability of falling back into sin. So what we need to do is walk in the Spirit, focus on spiritual things, and pray that God will guide us to resist temptation. It's still possible for a Christian to do sin because we still have the incorrupt or the corruptible flesh, although it is our spirit that is born again. It is our spirit that wills to do what God has told us to do, but we can't because of our flesh. So that's what 1 John 3 is teaching. So thank you, everybody, for watching, and goodbye.